Shabbat Shalom.
They're cheaper too.
This past Monday, when I learned of Rabbi Gerald Wolpe's passing, I began to realize the great impact that he had in shaping who I am as a rabbi. For the past 6 years, there have been many times when I've been upstairs in our own Rabbi Wolpe's office with a question, not sure of what to do. And often, our Rabbi Wolpe, would advise me by sharing something that he had learned from his father. Much of the best advice and guidance that I received from Rabbi Wolpe was something that originated with his father. And therefore, in some way, while our own Rabbi Wolpe is my mentor and my teacher, so was Gerald Wolpe. May his memory be for blessing. Now, I'm not sure if this is something that his father told him directly, but I'm pretty sure it's something that he learned from his father. There was one time in Rabbi Wolpe's office that he told me that there is a thin line between confidence and arrogance. And how true it is. We all know that confidence is critical, but when it crosses over to arrogance, it results in no good. And I thought about that thin line between confidence and arrogance when I read this week's Parshat Bamidbar. And the Torah portion opens with God commanding Moses to conduct a census of the people. Se'u et rosh kol edat Yisrael. Take account of everyone in the Israelite community. Translated literally, Se'u et rosh means lift up the head. And we can understand how Se'u et rosh, pick up the head, came to mean counting people. When your head is lifted, and only with your head held high, do you fully count. I like to think that Moses is commanded to do much more than just simply count people, but that he also literally, Se'u et rosh, that he was also told by God to give the people, B'nai Yisrael, a boost of confidence necessary for them to hold their heads high as they travel through the wilderness. But not everyone is counted in this census. The Levites, which are the tribe that's assigned to care for the Mishkan, for the tabernacle, they're not to be counted with the rest of the people. God commands Moses to count the Levites apart, and only after the rest of the people are counted. And when Moses is finally told to take the census of the Levites, he's not told to se'u et rosh, to lift up their heads, but pikudat b'nei Levi. He's told that simply all the Levites should be counted. And so naturally, we have to ask, why are the Levites simply counted? Why are their heads not lifted? The Chatam Sofer, who is a famous Torah commentator, he suggests a possible answer. He says that community leaders, like the Levites, don't need their heads to be lifted. Their position in the community gives them all the confidence necessary. Any more head lifting, any more praise, and the Levites would become aloof, and they would lead the people with swollen heads. For the Chatam Sofer, like Rabbi Wolpe, there is a fine line between arrogance and confidence. We need confident leaders to bring a community forward, but arrogant leaders spell disaster. There's a story in the Talmud that echoes this idea. Rabbi Gamliel goes to visit Rabbi Yeshua at his home. And when Rabbi Gamliel arrives, he sees that the walls of Rabbi Yeshua's home are filthy. They're covered with dirt and soot. And Rabban Gamliel is unaware that Rabbi Yoshua was so poor that he could not afford to have his house painted. So Gamliel points to the soot caked on the walls and he says, "Ah, I can understand from this dirt that you must own a charcoal business." And Rabbi Yoshua was justifiably bothered and offended by Rabban Gamliel's lack of sensitivity. With sadness and disappointment, he responds to Rabban Gamliel, "Woe to the generation whose leaders are unaware of the poverty in their midst." It was true then, and it's certainly true now. We need leaders who understand the condition and needs of the community. Arrogant leaders, leaders who go beyond confidence, are not appropriate. Leaders with too much su'u et rosh, with their heads too high to look into the eyes of their community, to see their struggles and their pain. Rabbi Yoshua was correct. Woe to the community that has these type of leaders. And that's what I initially wanted to talk about this week. The necessity of humility in leadership. And then I was going to continue. I was going to talk about Moses. And the Torah tells us that Moses was the most humble of our leaders. And I was going to tell you a few other stories. But then the events of this past week, they led me to realize something else. A lesson that I think is more timely and needed in our community. And that is, while leaders certainly need humility, and they must watch that line between confidence and arrogance, there are times when even our leaders need si'u et rosh. There are times when it is appropriate to lift the heads of our leaders. This past week, I was fortunate to see 42 men and women become rabbis. 12 students from the Ziegler School at the AJU were ordained Monday at a ceremony right here at Sinai. And then Howard Lesser and I went to New York for the ordination of 30 rabbis at the Jewish Theological Seminary. And one of those new rabbis from New York included, one of those rabbis was, of course, Rabbi Nicole Guzik. No longer rabbinical intern, Rabbi Nicole Guzik. Mazel tov to her and to her family. Rabbi Guzik, as many of you know, is going to be joining us full-time as a rabbi here at Sinai. And I'm here to tell you that that transition from student to rabbi can be difficult. And I speak from personal experience. Being a rabbi with enormous responsibility to a community is very different than studying to become a rabbi. And I know that as a community, we can help in this transition. We can si'u et rosh, lift the head of our new rabbi, ensuring her the support necessary as she settles in as part of our clergy. Supporting leaders, it's not limited just to new rabbis. This past Tuesday, the synagogue board of directors elected a new temple president, Ira Friedman. Mazel tov to you, Ira. I saw you in the back before. Mazel tov. Now, Ira has many ideas and he has a vision for Sinai. And let us as a community help during this transition. Let us remember the importance of si'u et rosh, of showing Ira the support necessary for him to lead this community, much in the way that we showed our current president, Kurt Smallberg. Of course, it's not only new leaders whom a community must si'u et rosh. Sometimes, even the most accomplished and established leaders need our support. They need our love, our care, and our sensitivity. Si'u et rosh. And now is such a time. Rabbi Wolpe has been with us at our hospital beds, our Shiver Minions, at our Brit Milahs, and he's been under our chuppahs. And now we can be there for him. As he has lifted us as our leader, it is now our turn to lift him, to se'u et rosh, to support him, to lift his head, allowing him during this time of his loss to feel the blessing of our community. Allow me to conclude with a prayer. Avinu Shebashamayim, thank you for the rich blessings of teachers, mentors, and role models. Help me to serve this community to the best of my abilities, blessing me with sensitivity, humility, and the good judgment to walk with confidence while avoiding arrogance. Help me find the strength to se'u et rosh, to lift the heads of the community that I serve. And for this community, dear God, guide us to lovingly support our leaders, to se'u et rosh, to lift the heads of our community leaders as they pursue new positions and responsibilities, and as they confront loss in their own lives. For our leaders in need of se'u et rosh, may we as a community serve as a foundation of light, of love, and of blessing. Together, may we live up to that holy responsibility, and may the memory of Rabbi Gerald Wolpe be for a blessing. And let us all say, Amen. Shabbat Shalom.